Y'all can stay right at your seat. Go ahead and get Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. We're not going to start out by reading it because we're going to read it in just a second. So I just want you to get it out, put it in your lap, get ready, put your hands up. Put your hands up. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this afternoon, Lord. We thank you for what you're about to do in our midst. We know, God, that you are alive, you are well, and you are working in our midst. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch God in a way that only you can. Help us, God, to see and know and understand that you are always in control. Help us, God, to take our anxieties, our what ifs, give them to you. Help us, Father, to give you our wish we had done a difference to you. Help us, God, to understand that you got this, and we give it to you right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Isn't God so good? You know, after a recent basketball game, the coach spotted a cell phone lying on the floor. So he picked it up and handed it to one of the referees and said, here's your phone. He said, what makes you think it's mine? The ref asked. Easy, the coach replied. It says you missed 13 calls. Okay, you'll get it. Have you ever noticed if the game's going your way, the referees are awesome? And if the game's not going your way, the referees are blind? Amen. Okay, well, y'all get that in a minute. Y'all sports people know what I'm talking about. Okay, missed 13 calls. All right. Up until now, let me go ahead and get you going here. Let's see where we're going. Here we are. There we is. We're going back into Revelation, and I was really kind of torn about how far to go today, because I really, really, really think it's important that we get a grasp of this scripture. And so because we're trying to get a grasp of this scripture, and we're trying to get a grasp of what God's telling us, I really felt the Lord just told me, just stop at verse 5. And don't even go all the way through verse 5 yet. Just stop. So we're going to talk about the scroll today. But here it is. Now, Revelation, who is worthy? Now, up until now, we talked about the glorified Christ in chapter 1. And we talked about the seven churches in chapter 2 and 3. We talked about the rapture of the church in 4. And we also talked about 4:1, and then in 4 we talked about the throne room. So now, remember I told you the seals are coming. We always hear talk about SEAL Team 6. I'm thinking about once we start in the seals, call it SEAL Team 7. Amen, because we got 7. God loves 7, amen? Amen, 7, 7, 7. It's number of perfection, number of completion. It's just God's awesome. When you see God using 7 to explain something, that means it's very powerful. So again, now we're going to talk about the seals and who can open them. Who can open these seals? Who is the legitimate heir? Who is the one that is good enough to open the seals? I want you to think about this. Who is the one that is good enough to open the seals? I'm going to give you a little hint. Ain't nobody in here can do it. Nobody. Okay? None of us can do it in here. So let's go ahead and I'm going to just let you, we're going to read this a little bit and then we're going to go into it. Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Of course, this goes a lot further, but we're not going there today. We'll go there next week. I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside. It's written on the front and back. Now, this was a scroll. To him, a book is a scroll. They didn't have bindings and have those kind of books. They had scrolls. If you looked at some of the epistles, it was one scroll. Because you think about it literally as like a bigger than maybe a piece of our normal paper. But it was papyrus and vellum. And it was rolled up in scrolls. And so maybe the first apostle of John, the second John, third, is just on one sheet of paper. And you get looking at all of them. If you look at the book of Revelation, it's going to be a whole lot longer. And I'm going to explain about that book in just a second. But it's a scroll, okay? So I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside. You got to remember something. Most of the time, 99% of the time, it was always written within the scroll, not on front and back. Okay? It was on the front. So there's some powerful stuff here that's going on. So, on the backside, and it was sealed with seven seals. Didn't mean the seven seals were sealed across the front. It meant the seven seals were sealed, so you had a section, and a seal would stop it. You pop that seal, and up in the next section, you pop that seal. So that's how that was. So it was one book, but it had seven seals because it was divided up into seven parts. Okay? So I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much. And that word wept means literally to wail out loud. Here's John. He's here. He's gone up. He's already seen the church. He sees what's going on. The church has been raptured. He sees the elders, the 420 elders, the four beasts. He sees all this worship going on in heaven. He sees the throne room. And now the crowning event of this throne room, because after this we leave the throne room. After next week we leave the throne room and we go to earth. Okay? Revelation, once it goes to chapter 6, it leaves the throne room and it goes to earth. Okay? So this is the pinnacle of the throne room experience. And so now he sees all this stuff going on around him and it's really, really awesome. And then he sees this book and nobody's worthy to open it. And the Bible says that he wails out loud because of all this glory that he sees. And yet, it seems to be stopped because no man was found worthy to open or to read the book or even look therein. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof." So let's go there. Let's go to this for a minute, okay? Now, who is worthy to break the seals? Worthy to open the book. See that book, the way it's rolled around? It's one long book, but it's sealed. So you got one part of the book, then the second part, third part, and to the seventh part. Let me tell you something about these seals. This book has seven seals. Now, at the end of this seven seals, there's going to be seven trumpets. And at the end of the seven trumpets, there are going to be seven bowls. But the way it works is, at the end of the seventh trumpet, or the seventh seal, is going to be the number one opening, and that is the seven trumpets. At the end of the seventh trumpet is going to be the beginning of the seven bowls. So this is some heavy-duty stuff going on here. This is probably one of the most complex, and honestly, if it weren't for the times that we lived in, it would probably just boggle our mind, but because of the technology that we have and because we have all this computerized stuff and we have all these weapons that can destroy the earth, and because of the way the earth right now is in so much turmoil. Let me read something to you. I can't send it out as Mighty Army because it's just too big, and I was wondering exactly how I could send this out, but here's what it's kind of right today. Watch this. Put 100 red and 100 black ants in a jar, and nothing will happen. But if you shake the jar, the reds think that the blacks are the enemy, and vice versa. The real enemy, however, is the jar shaker. The same is true in society. Before we fight, we should ask ourselves, who shook the jar? Wow. That is so powerful. Let that just sink in for a while, because that is so powerful. So we got this book. Now, something about this book, watch this. We're going to talk about the book. That's what we're going to talk about mainly. Now, the three characteristics of this scroll or this book. First, let's watch this now. The scroll was in the right hand of God. Now, you remember something. Now, the book's in God's hands. Not in Jesus' hands yet. It's in God's hands. God is in charge of human history. God is in charge of your history. God is in charge of what's going on around us. Not any other nation. We're not, the United States is not in charge. Iran's not in charge. Iraq's not in charge. Afghanistan's not in charge. The the Democrats, Republicans, communism, socialism, whatever. None of that is totally, none of that's in charge. God's in charge. God, the Father, is in charge. Somebody say that. God, the Father, is in charge. And because we know that God is in charge, then you know what? I don't like the stuff that's going on around me. I don't like it. I don't like stuff I'm seeing. But at the same time, I know that God is in charge. And although I keep thinking every day, how much more are we going to, how much more are we going to have to endure? And just how much crazier can it get? Because we don't know, but God already knows. And He's letting us know here, I got this. Somebody say, my Father's got this. He has a definite plan, and He has a definite purpose for the universe. We don't have to fear war. We don't have to fear Russia. We don't have to fear an unstable economy. We don't have to fear the environment, drugs, criminal society, or the other massive problems that have no answer. Why? Because God has the answer. And it's not going to be long before God will be sending, this right here is going to take place, and what's going to happen is God is going to take it back. This is not the world. The world does not belong to certain parties or certain countries. The world is God's. Right now, the devil has got a lease on it. He's the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world. But pretty soon, his lease is going to be up. And when his lease is up, God's going to take it back. Amen? So we ought to be the most optimistic people on the earth. Because we know our Father's got this. So first it's in the right hand of God. Now watch this. It's written on both sides. I told you about this. It sounds kind of crazy, don't it? But see, it means nothing more could be added to it. See, if it was empty on the back, that meant somebody could write something else in there. But because it's full on the inside and out. And in Revelation 22, y'all get your Bibles out. I want y'all to read this with me. Revelation 22, verse 18. Let's just start at 16 because it just gives it some more flow. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Which means we all have this. We've all been invited to the table. Verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testify these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So this book is complete. It's written on the front. It's written on the back. And God says, I don't want you to add to. There's no need to. I don't want you to take away because everybody needs to see this. And so this book is written on both sides. Those are written on both sides. It's sealed by seven seals. You see, this is the key to unfolding Revelation right there. That scroll that's getting ready to be handed to Jesus. That is the whole key to everything in Revelation. That's why I really didn't feel comfortable going further than the seal today, or the seals, because if we miss this part, we're going to miss it all. Remember, there's seven seals. On the seventh seal comes the seven trumpets. At the end of the seven trumpets, on the seventh trumpet comes the seven bowls. So everything is within this book. And like I said, it's written on the front and it's written on the back because it's so powerful. It is also the title deed of this earth. And because it's the title deed of this earth, guess what? The prince of the power of the air, the god of this world, is getting ready to find out just who is in charge. Amen? I can't wait for this to take place. I would love for it to take place right now, with the exception of, I know there's people that need to be saved. Other than that, I wish He would come right now. Even John said, even so, Lord, come quickly. So now let's take it a little deeper. Y'all say, put the plow down, preacher. Put the plow down. There you go. Are you ready? Here we go. When we look at this scroll and we look at the seven seals, it shows us something. Now let me just go ahead and put some history in this, because remember, when God does something, He does it in a way that you can look around. He uses things around us. Jesus used fishermen. He got on a boat and used his amphitheater to tell everybody. He used the bread and loaves. He would talk about the mountain being moved. So Jesus liked to use things around us so we could always have something as a point of reference. So now, seven seals. Did you know back in that day, if you were, let's just say Steve was to have ride a wheel. If he was to ride a wheel, in order for that wheel to be legal, he'd have to have seven witnesses. Not only would he have to have seven witnesses, but each witness would have to attach their own personal seal. Wow. So every wheel, somebody said we're going to read the wheel. If you didn't see seven waxed seals, then it was not a legal wheel. So this is the last will and testament of God, what He wants to do, and only when the person that it was given to arrived, in the presence of the seven witnesses, could the seals be opened. So here's this book. It's got the seven seals, and the seven seals, the last will and testament of God, what He wants to do with this earth, the title deed, so to speak, is getting ready to be given to Jesus. So Jesus can work the will of the Father. Wow, some powerful, powerful stuff. Not only does it show the last will and testament of God, but also it shows that the book is large. It's written on the front and back. Remember, it's complete. It's powerful. You don't have to add to or take away. He even says don't add to or take away. Plus, the seven seals are required to bind it because it's so big, it's so massive. It is 14 foot long. It's got to be rolled up and stopped and rolled up and stopped by a seal and rolled up and stopped by a seal because each portion is so powerful and has got so much stuff. If you didn't stop and think about the first part, you would miss the second part. You'd miss the third part, fourth part, fifth part, sixth part, seventh part. So the book is actually large. It's a very, very large book. But also, the secrecy of the book. He wanted to keep the events of the end time hid until God Himself was ready to reveal them. You see, one thing, man's smart. We put a man on the moon. Well, we're going to get ready to send a man to Mars. You know, we've gone out and we got this Hubble telescope and something even more, or even greater than that, and we see way out. But no matter how far out we can see, there's still more that we can't see. I love this. When I was when I was at Lee University, I was taking a science. They showed, and I believe it was the Hubble telescope at the time, they actually took a picture of the farthest galaxy that they could take a picture of. You can look it up. And it looked like an eye. And in the eye was a cross. Wow. That's powerful. So, so powerful. But man has all this stuff, but no matter how much we know, man can never figure out the events, not by his own intellect. Back in the day, when I was a little boy and I'd hear this stuff, they had one version of what was going to happen because they just did it with what they knew. Nowadays, this stuff is right here in front of us. It's at our back door. We cannot deny what's happening, and we can see how it can go. Daniel in Daniel 12 and 8 told God, we got to seal up the book. It was sealed by God until the end time. In other words, people aren't ready for what I'm getting ready to show them. They're not going to be able to figure it out. But guess what? Now, with all the stuff that's happening around us, Wow. Wow. So it's the last will and testament of God. The book is large, and it's revealing the secrets of God. Now, the Bible said that when he saw this, and he wanted the book open, but they looked around and they searched all of heaven. They searched all of earth. They searched under the earth. And when they searched, they found no man who was able to even look in it, much less touch it. And John weeps because he's got this far. And he wants God to complete the revelation that he's given him. But something keeps stopping him. Some of y'all in here right now, let's just pull it back to us. Some of us in here, we've come so far with God. But something keeps stopping us from taking it further. Maybe, just maybe, one, God's not ready for you to take it further. Number two, maybe you're not ready to take it further. I got up this morning and I faced my greatest enemy before I ever got out of my house. When I looked in the mirror, I saw him. If you looked in the mirror this morning, you saw your greatest enemy. It's not Satan. It's you. Because Satan can only do what you allow him to do. And God doesn't want him to. And God's given you power to overcome him. So, some of us want to go further in God. But we're trying to do it. Just like here in Revelation, there's no man that can do it. You could go further if you get your hand off of it and trust Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, to take you further. So now, let's just look. The search fails. None in heaven were found worthy. Look, not the angels, not the four creatures, not the 24 elders, not the redeemed ones. No person on earth was found worthy. No statesman, no educator, no scientist, no minister. No person under the earth, nobody from among the dead, and definitely no demon from hell. I just want to stop again and say, if you could just learn to get out of your own way. That's what you talked about, tripping on things behind us. Maybe that thing we're tripping on behind us is because we're holding on to something that we should let go of. Maybe we just can't go forward because we just think we can fix it ourselves. Can't. There comes a time where God alone can do it. So now, let me just go a little bit further, and then we're gonna get out of here early today. I think. Y'all can actually beat the Baptist to McDonald's. Ready? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, this is some powerful stuff. Revelation 5:5. Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. You know where this comes from? This actually comes from Genesis. It's up here where you can see it. Genesis 49:8-10. It says, Judah, your brother shall praise you, and your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's cub. For the prey, my son, you have gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion and as a lioness. Who dares rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from beneath it, from between his feet, until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. Wow. Wow. Watch this. Who is he? The lion of the tribe of Judah. I'll give you three guesses and the first who don't count. Who is the lion of the tribe of Judah? Jesus. 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 You see, through Jesus, number one, he redeemed all things through the Lamb. They didn't like him when he came because they were expecting somebody to come with power and authority to crush the Roman government. Somebody to come in and just step up and be in total control and tell them all, y'all just lay down at my feet. I got this. And he didn't do that because he came as a lamb. They didn't understand God's plan of redemption, that God had laid out the plan all the way from the garden when he said, when he talked to the serpent, he said, you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to afflict your head. You watch this, what's going to happen. He's going to put you down. Here it was, the lamb. But guess what? Next time he comes, he's not coming as a lamb. When he reclaims all things, he comes as a lion. Wow. I can't wait. The Bible tells us in Thessalonians when he comes, he's going to destroy the devil with the brightness of his coming. So at the end of this thing, when he destroys the devil, what does he got to do to fight the devil? What does he got to do to defeat the devil? All he's got to do is show up. Just show up! And when he shows up, he's going to take him down with the brightness of his coming. So here's my question, and Brandon, come here and play us something. The king is coming. I'm stopping it right here because we're going to talk about this lamb next week. Because this lamb's going to be kind of weird. You just said the lion's coming. The lion is coming. But he sees the lamb. So that we got to talk about this. This is some deep stuff. Deep, 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 deep stuff. Everybody stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You said, well, we're our own worst enemy. Yeah, we are, but we still have an enemy. There's several of them. One of them is death is an enemy. He's the last death or the last enemy. Satan is definitely our enemy. We're our own worst enemy. There's a lot of enemies out there that we have to fight. And I know there's times where you wish things would just be all over with. This morning I was trying to be funny when we were practicing. And instead of singing, I'll fly away, I said, I'll run away. I'll run away some morning. It'd be nice if everything was just over. But that's not how it happens. But I can promise you, when the lion comes on the scene, things are going to change. And for 1,000 years, he's going to show us how it should have been done from the very beginning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you would take an honest look of yourself and you would say, Lord, I got a feeling that we're going to be around when these seven seals start to open, and I don't want to be beyond the first one. I want to be out of here. I want to be raptured away from all this. And God, I don't think I'm ready. I know I'm not where I should be with you, with nobody looking around, every eye closed, every head bowed. We just put that hand up and just say, look, I'm not sure that I'm ready. I really am not sure. When those seals start coming open, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here for all that stuff. I can't stand the thought of all this stuff coming down on us. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Maybe you're here right now and you're going, well, I know I'm safe in redemption, but me and God, we're not as close as we used to be, and I really, really want to be closer than I've ever been before so I don't mess out and so that I can be a witness for Him along the way until He does come and take us away. With nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed, we just put the hand up and say, I'm not as close as I should be, but I really want to make it, I want to make it better. All right. Let's all pray together. Lord, I thank you for your promise of redemption. I thank you that you've got us. I thank you that Satan only has a lease on this earth. That you, Father, hold the title deed. And Father, help us to give us to you in a very powerful way. Help us, Lord, to trust you with our heart and with our soul and with our past and with our present and with our future. We thank you for all you do for us, God. And we thank you for all that you're going to do. God, we rededicate our lives to you right now in the name of Jesus. There's no way we can handle this without you. And we thank you for accepting us as we draw close to you. Your promise is you'll draw close to us. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus we pray. It's coming. Man, you can see it. You can feel it. You can smell it. It's coming. But you know, God's got a peace in all of this for you. The other day, Tamala gave her mother this little candle. And this little candle was a soothing, I called it like being in a therapist's office, because as soon as I walked in the house, I knew something smelled different. It smelled good. It smelled different. And after smelling it for a while, I said, wow, that's kind of relaxing. And I said, oh, no wonder. This is one of those candles that are supposed to be there for you to make you, you know. And so I said, you know what? That's the same thing that happens when we pray. And God just bathes us in His comfort. We feel the same thing. And it's so awesome. So today my prayer to you is, as we go through Revelation, don't be afraid of it. Do not be afraid of it. But instead, cling to it. Hold on to it. Because people are going to start asking you questions about this, and you can be able to give them an answer. A legitimate answer. A real answer. And also, remember, as long as you stay under the blood, you're going to be fine. It's going to be okay. So, starting, this is our journey. We've been all this way to all those churches and all this, and now, starting now, the seven seals of getting ready to be delivered. And once those seven seals are delivered, literally all hell is going to break loose. And I don't plan on being here. Amen. I plan on going into rapture. But just in case some of y'all would decide you want to stay around, hang around, play around with it, you'll know what to do. I'm playing. I hope none of y'all want to hang around for this. Amen. Isn't God good? Tuesday night, we're having a good time. It's been awesome. And we got a few more weeks of this. And then we're actually going to start on something called Triggers. I'm not talking about Roy Rogers' horse either. Okay.